Good morning. Today's reading comes from Revelation 1, verses 4b through 8. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive a word of truth, then set us free to follow in the power of Christ's love. Amen. I think maybe a lot of you might be thinking, you chose Revelation passage, Kristen. Haven't we had enough doom and gloom? And I get it. Like, we're all thinking about, you know, the holidays that are coming up, celebrating with our families and friends, and I just had to pick a passage about the end times. Let me let you in on my thought process. For one thing, Revelation fits perfectly with our church calendar. This is the last book of the Bible. Today is the last day of our church year. Next week, we'll start a new year with all of the expectation and hope and joy that Advent brings. In addition to being the end of the church year, today is also the reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday. And I actually see a lot of excitement and promise in this passage. One of the really important things to remember when you're reading anything in Revelation is that it's said to have been written by John the Apostle, not to be confused with John the Baptist. But John the Apostle was caught. He wasn't really trying to hide it, but he was caught proselytizing, and he was exiled to the land of Patmos. Not a very hospitable place, but the book of Revelation is basically John's letter to the seven churches of Asia. Also, not the same Asia that we think of today, but seven churches of Asia. And he, in this letter, he reveals Revelation, his visions of the future of the church. So whatever you might know or think you know about the book of Revelation, the overarching point is that God's power ultimately reigns in truth, goodness, and beauty. I'm telling you, there's a lot of promise here. So John is really digging himself in a deeper hole just by writing this letter. Like, he's already like in big trouble, exiled to Patmos. But he's continuing to challenge the Roman propaganda. And that propaganda is that the Emperor Augustus is ushering in this golden age, and he's going to be the ruler of the world. And John is saying, you know what? Those claims of glory and dominion don't belong to Augustus, because Jesus is actually the one who is ruling the kings of the earth. God has already transformed the world through Christ. God is still transforming the world right now, and yet will accomplish even more transformation in the future. Did any of you happen to notice the present tense there? Jesus is ruling the kings of the earth. God reigns now. So why does it matter that Christ is and will be our king? Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but our culture spends a lot of time and energy flirting with and getting maybe a little more than flirty with systems that give singular authority to one person. We still see a lot of oppression by earthly powers throughout the world. You know, just in our country alone, we're still dealing with this pandemic, and there's poverty and political tensions and inequality and just a whole bunch of things that, you know, work to keep God's people down. And yet we still hear presidents, kings, CEOs, prime ministers of the world talk about how they can fix everything. Sometimes those words do bring us comfort. It's really good to know that, you know, it's really hopeful for us. Like, we want to know that there's some assurance of control and power. We want the world to make sense. We want to feel secure. We really long for a king that is on our side and will protect us and provide for us. But I gotta tell you, none of these people have anything on Jesus. Well, they might have money, and they might have influence, and a lot of them certainly have earthly power, but Jesus, he's the King of Kings. Wait, hold on a minute. If we've been let down by these human leaders and institutions that we can see and hear and, you know, kind of touch, why should we trust Jesus and recognize him as King of Kings? What makes Jesus so different? I mean, we can't even see him, right? So John thought you might be skeptical, so he breaks it down in verses 5 and 6. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. So first of all, Jesus is the faithful witness who lived among us as a teacher, a mentor. He provided us with a model of the ultimate sacrificial service. Jesus wouldn't yield to opposition, but he continued to overturn money-changing tables and spirit-strangling religious assumptions, even until he died. And as the firstborn of the dead, Jesus overcame death, and he assumed his rightful place in heaven. And there, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And there, he possesses the ultimate authority over all of creation, even those pesky human-made political divisions. Secondly, we know that Jesus is qualified because of what he has done for us. He loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Did you catch that present tense used again? He loves us now, today. Even though his work for us is in the past, it continues perpetually because his love for us is always present. That's one of the things that's really difficult for a lot of us to remember. You know, Jesus didn't just act in the past, but is still with us in the present. Don't worry, I'll keep reminding you. Finally, Jesus involves us. Jesus brings us in. Jesus made us a kingdom, priests serving God, the Father. The Christian community, that's all of us, you know, and beyond, but us, are part of his kingdom. And furthermore, we are priests in that kingdom. As our pals Luther and Calvin would say, we are a priesthood of believers. And we have been designated to be part of God's continuing transformative work in the world. Our calling is to be witnesses to the kingship of Jesus by opposing those earthly powers that try to take God's place. We don't do that by, you know, knocking things over and yelling at people. We do that by following his example as faithful witnesses, seeking God's will, denying ourselves, and serving others. I didn't say it would be easy. Most of us in the West struggle a lot with the descriptions of kings and kingdoms. I mean, even those countries that do have monarchies today, they aren't really the types of kingdoms. Technically, they were empires that Revelation's audience was experiencing. Any sort of critique of the Roman Empire, its ruler, its practices, was a very dangerous thing. And if you were prosecuted, it wasn't just a death sentence, but a sentence of torture until death. And often not just for you, but for your family as well. Thankfully, our King, Jesus, is not like that. He is not one who has or even wants minions that just, you know, do his bidding with unquestioned obedience. Jesus doesn't dehumanize, dominate, or exploit us. None of us are forced to be citizens of God's kingdom. We accept that invitation to be a part of this kingdom because we are loved and freed from sins by Jesus. And we are given the exalted status of priests in a countercultural community. And this is where we witness God's reign of love and hope in the face of evil. Revelation proclaims Christ as a king whose very blood creates a new kingdom of priests. John here envisions an alternative to the earthly powers that lay claim to us. Christ's kingship judges all other would-be authorities. As Christ's followers, as holy people living in a new community, we are governed by an alternative ruler, the King of Kings, who lives and reigns forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.